Welcome to the fourth episode of the 404 Era podcast, where we interview graduating artists completing their bachelor's degree in art and art history at the University of Toronto, Mississauga, and Sheridan College. I'm your host, Veronica Spiljack, and today I'll be interviewing graduating artists Bernadette Leachman and Hao Yu Zhang. Before we start, I would like to introduce what the third theme called Clear Browser Cache, listed in the title of this episode, means in the context of the 404 Era exhibition and its correlation to Bernadette Leachman's and Hao Yu Zhang's work. Clear Browser Cache describes the connection to a site from another device, such as your mobile phone. Clearing the cache and clearing cookies should easily solve the problem. In this case, the 404 Era exhibition uses this term to identify social and political critiques, which can be seen in Bernadette's work titled Miracle of Life and Hao Yu's work titled I Hide Behind My Back.
Welcome, Bernadette Leachman, onto this podcast. Hi. How are you? So nice seeing you again.
Yes, great to see you guys too.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are as an artist, what you've been up to?
Sure. Most of my art is either in sculpture or for fun. I just sketch a lot. I never finish a piece when I sketch it. My sculpture works usually just kind of deal with stuff that I have personal issues with, anything and everything I want to talk about. So lately it's been a lot of like stuff about the body and health and mental health, especially being stuck inside. I've had to psychoanalyze myself a lot more than probably I would have before. So that's become a new hobby. And from like background stuff, I come from like a relatively, it was a small town. It's like getting to a medium-sized town now. Affectionately, me and my friends call it Farmville, Milton.
No, Milton's a very like quaint place, I find. It's I guess maybe because I live in Mississauga and it's like super busy where I live. Mm-hmm. And it just borders everything like Oakville and Milton and Brampton, so. But yeah, whenever I visit Milton, it seems very quaint and quiet. We got, like, and a lot of field, a lot of farms.
Yes, we have like 10 bus routes, so Mississauga having like it's not that big. And because of that, so like I've gone to Catholic school my whole life, and it was like a big deal when the second Catholic school opened up in our town. God. So it was like small town vibes, Catholic school vibes growing up a lot. And
I could relate.
Yeah, so that was definitely present in some of my work and in some of my family too, because they're like all Catholic immigrants. Like my grandparents, they're all European immigrants, and growing up going to like Croatian church and and stuff like that was definitely something I'm working through now in some of my art, and definitely I'm drawn to in art. Love the Baroque, you know, stuff about different biblical stories, even if I'm not necessarily a believer anymore. Aesthetics are pretty great. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I feel like our backgrounds like parallel so much, because I also grew up going to Polish school and going to Catholic school almost all my life. And then I feel like that is also very heavily integrated in my work. But anyways, so I guess to get on the topic of your works, and just kind of in terms of like your sculpture works, mm-hmm. And I noticed that you tend to like using, or I guess diving into sculpture when it comes to being an artist. So have you always worked in sculpture or?
No. Not until getting to school. Mm-hmm. I think like a lot of people maybe, or maybe it was just me, I had kind of the perception of sculpture just being like, you know, making clay busts and like that was it. And then for our program, because we had to take sculpture one, and taking it with Carlo in first year was such a like eye-opener for what you could do and what sculpture could be. And I find that like I in general really like working with my hands, and just kind of making stuff, manipulating stuff into different forms, in like other hobbies. So it was definitely like a big click when I got to do that, especially since before then I loved making stuff like making clothing and fabricating stuff. So I think one of my first projects I did, I made, like when we had to do that cube thing, I made mine like out of fabric and inside out so that you could see the pins holding it together. And just the critique of that went and like the discussion definitely sparked my artistic interest and made me think that there could be more. So
yeah, Carlos' class really changes you.
Carlos is so great. I have him for Sculpture 3 right now, and it's been a blast.
Wow. Can you talk a bit about that?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's what these works were done for, because I did it for Sculpture 3's article assignment. So we had to look at just any article, basically, and then kind of make a work in response to that. That was kind of like our political art unit. So for mine, I looked at the time, because this was like November, so at the time it was the protests going on in Poland against the proposed abortion ban or further restriction. I haven't kept up with the situation. I don't think it's gotten that much better. I think it's just evolved more.
It's calmed down since then, but
yeah that's good at least.
It's like the protests aren't as active, but I don't think any regulations have been in place. But sorry, continue. Yeah.
No, it's good. That's comforting. But it was like, so that was what my works were in response to. And getting to meet with Carlo and have these chats every week about, just kind of what we wanted to do as artists going forward from there. And especially because Sculpture 3, the big push is for independent projects, especially in the second half. So it's been really about like thinking outside of the box and thinking just kind of really stroking that creative part of your brain. So it's been really great to have his feedback because he really helps to kind of push ideas further and to open up the potential of your work.
For sure. Yeah, I love Carlo. He's so great. So I guess in Sculpture 3, can you tell us a bit about Miracle of Life, that sculptural series that you submitted, and kind of like what drew you to, I guess you already talked about like what influenced you, but I guess you can talk about like the title and tell us about it.
Sure. So the overall series, it's like a series of three. So, and I decided to name each one because I thought that might be like not interesting. But then I like to have too many details with things. So each of the ones, there's a Parasite, Heartbeat, and Placenta are the three ones. And Miracle of Life overall, because it deals with, it was in response obviously to the abortion bans, but it also, that was just kind of the starting point. It kind of got me thinking of, that's a topic I've been interested in and very passionate about for a long time, because obviously right to our bodies, especially as someone who, has a uterus, I have strong opinions on that. And it was something where it's like birth for me on a personal level. It's like, it's this kind of scary thing because it's this foreign body that is growing inside of you. And which, just kind of stripping it down to that definition is kind of terrifying to think about it. And it's something where I've gone back and forth because it's like, on the one hand, it's, humanity continuing. It's this kind of beautiful thing. You're going to pass down all this love and tradition into this thing that's going to become a person. But it's also this horrible, horrifying process that your body has to go through that will, suck up all this blood and energy and, all the like weird side effects that can happen too. Like some women have their like teeth rot out, they lose their hair. Like it's a horrifying thing in a lot of ways. And then also my feelings about just kind of forced carrying, because if you have these abortion bans, then you're forcing women to go through this horrifying process and it no longer is this beautiful thing. It's really terrible to have that forced it upon you. Because if it's your choice, then it's obviously you really want this and it's a beautiful thing to you, but if it's something you're getting forced to go through, then you're not going to say it was worth it like someone who would want it. So that's why particularly Parasite was one. Maybe that's a harsh view of the fetus, but and maybe some mothers would not agree with that sentiment, but if you're being forced to carry it, you might view it that way. And then placenta was particularly because I found out the horrifying fact that, you know, when you give birth to a baby, the placenta comes after. I always knew that, but it doesn't, it, the way that it detaches from the uterus wall, it just leaves like an open, this huge baseball size wound, just open and bleeding. It's like, that sounds horrifying. So yeah. After that fact, I made that one. And they're all made out of coat hangers because of a reference to coat hanger abortions, because that's what will happen when you have these restrictions. So
Speaking of coat hangers, I guess like looking at the materials that you were using, and as someone who is also part Polish myself, your work like really struck a chord with me in terms of, you know, the context of women's reproductive rights in Poland. And I was particularly interested in the materials that you selected and that you chose to work with throughout all of your works, your series, such as the coat hangers, which you discussed before, thread and yarn. So I guess what made you choose those mediums or those materials as part of your creative choice when discussing these issues of abortion rights and especially in the context of the protests that are happening in Poland?
So for the coat hanger ones, obviously the coat hanger abortions, and obvious, and just for like a practical standpoint, because it was thin wire that could make interesting shapes, so all of them were trying to mimic like uterary shapes. Some of them are a little more abstracted of that shape than others, but and then for the yarns and threads, partially at that time, just because I got really into crocheting and was really into making those forms, but also because of, you know, symbolically, yarns and threads and just textile works in general are kind of seen as women's crafts, and they're also are just haven't been seen, at least before. I think now it's kind of changing a bit, but for a while, like that kind of thing is like low tier, it's not fine art, it's
more like craft art,
exactly,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of works now more that are definitely like changing that, but especially because the time period I looked at a lot was like feminist art works from like 70s and 80s, just because they had so much dealing with destigmatizing you know, women's reproduction and sexuality and lots of vaginal imagery. So that was kind of what I was drawing from. And then there was definitely no like craft stuff. So I wanted to do this thing where it's like a traditionally feminine craft and hobby, and kind of twist it a bit, because a lot of the forms that I did were, and there's no pattern or anything, it's just haphazard crocheting and looping these threads together, putting them through, especially in the placenta one, because I put them together, both yarn and thread. And so I did a couple of different just stitches through these blobs of yarn that I had made to try to kind of mimic like veins and stuff. And there was one I kept doing like a blanket stitch. I thought I'm gonna get really meta with this, and I didn't think I would ever get to talk about it but just because like blanket stitch, you know, baby blankets, and that's also part of it, is when I was first learning how to crochet, most of the patterns were for baby blankets. And it's like, I'm, you know, 22, I'm not having a baby, but I would like to crochet, so don't need a baby blanket. But that was also part of the association, was this lovely thing that you would generally do traditionally for a baby coming, you know, make little baby booties or blankets or hats, and instead using it to kind of express this anger and sorrow.
Wow, that's beautifully put. So I guess in a way you're kind of using these materials, I guess, like as a way to kind of like, would you say it's kind of reclaiming back like traditional, like women's crafts in a way, like, I guess, as yourself, as a, a woman artist, like, would you say that using those materials is kind of like reclaiming that kind of craft back into your work?
I like that. That sounds maybe a little more badass than I am, but
it is.
There was definitely like over quarantine, it was like crocheting, and I tried to get into like embroidery too. And it was like stuff that I was like telling my grandma about, and she was so excited that I was like doing these things that she likes to do.
That's so sweet. That's lovely.
But it's like, I'm not making, you know, home sweet home or like darning my husband's socks. I don't have a husband, but like that kind of a thing to clarify that. You know, like, so yeah, I maybe on some level, yeah, reclamation is definitely a fun thing.
Wow, yeah, that's so interesting. Like, I guess just seeing like women artists kind of retaking back traditional art mediums that were deemed like on art or informal art or like, yes, not really art, like high art, and kind of using it in a way that, you know, reflects, I guess, their identity as a woman. That's exactly. So amazing. I guess, do you have any plans after you graduate, or I guess after COVID ends? Like, is there something that you've been kind of clinging on to that you want to do, or you've always wanted to try doing, whether that's maybe in regards to your life or maybe even your work? Yeah,
big question. One I have asked myself a lot, these, especially with graduation now fast approaching. I think we have like, what, 1 week left of actual classes?
Oh my God. So, yeah.
You know, terrifying to think about.
Very.
I think like I've been focusing on trying to look for a job and an apartment. Mm-hmm. But obviously one of those has to come before the other. Yeah. And then in terms of art, because I actually like talking to Carlo about it, he's like, you should totally go forward with it. So I want to submit to galleries and stuff and kind of start that. I think I'm probably a bit naive or a bit green to the process because I don't really know what to do yet or how to do it. I think probably push further some of the works I've done. There was one work I did also for sculpture class that was this large me-sized doll that I had made.
Yes, I saw it on your Instagram. Yeah. Do tell.
Oh,
tell
so that was it. That was Cynthia. Yes. So I had made this giant doll, like literally I used my measurements for it before, and that was to talk about just kind of burnout and how like just, you know, a doll slumped over like a rag doll, feeling just torn about through the end of semester. And then I kind of remade her for this project. I've made all of these like guts and stuff out of different fabrics, like, you know, a stomach made out of like blue fuzzy fabric and stuff like that. And I had her stood up like with a metal armature on the bottom half in my garage in front of the class. I got out my sharpest knife and I opened her up Candyman style and strewn the toy guts around. I think playing with the idea of like breaking apart of the seams and just kind of the what would you call it, I like kind of separating, disassociating my mind from my body kind of a bit was that one.
It was a like performance, like it was very performative. And just I was thinking like, oh, do you think you see yourself using sculpture and maybe even performance in your works, or I guess like in the future?
Mm-hmm. That would, oh. Sculpture is definitely what I want to go forward with. Mm-hmm. And like that part, that piece in particular, I would love to like turn that into like a series and do all kinds of things with it. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Mike Kelly and I love his like Eviscerated Corpse and like other stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So just the idea of being able to like go bigger, I want to do that very badly, bigger, though I don't. Home. Exactly. Just don't know how yet. Yeah. But sculpture is definitely my favorite thing that I, maybe not performance art, maybe I, performance terrifies me. I'm like, I got, really? I was so nervous getting ready for this interview. I was like going over what like my answers potentially would be in my head because I didn't want to like stutter and have too much dead space because I know I do that in class a lot. So yeah, maybe one day I can work up to that. That was definitely the first time I ever did anything performance piece.
I think it went really well. Like I was so amazed, like just how it evolved after you cut it. and just like it just started slumping, and the figure was kind of like being deconstructed into like this other form. Yeah, it was so like amazing to see on your Instagram.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess before we end off this interview, what I guess like maybe a big question is, what was the best advice that you've ever gotten from a prof, from a book, from a family friend, or I guess like a life motto that you kind of live by that changed your worldview on your approach to making art and your approach as an artist?
I can't remember his exact words, because it's Carlo again, but
yes.
Just it's not necessarily something specific he said, but a lot of times it's just kind of consider everything, think about what, you know, what's working for you, what are you attracted to, and what ways you can push it further are mm-hmm. kind of just the general like advice he always kind of gets back to me. So that's, yeah, that's probably the best that I can think of. Yeah. This is just, Carlo's the best, and he always, that's kind of something he usually tells me whenever we talk. So
Carlo is the best.
It's the worst part about graduating, just saying bye to Carlo.
Yeah, that's what a beautiful way to end this off. Thank you so much, Bernadette, for joining us today in this interview. So lovely to have you and just hear about your work, Miracle of Life, your practice as an artist, and your plans after graduation. Congratulations again for graduating and completing your undergrad in art and art history. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Welcome, Haoyu Zhang. Hello, how are you? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, so like I'm Haoyu, and I'm currently specializing in art and art history at like University of Toronto and Sheridan College joint bachelor program. And like it's like where I explore different art mediums such as like drawing, painting, sculpture, photographies, printmaking, performance art, and like video and sound art.
So do you consider yourself like a multimedia artist, like interdisciplinary, or is there like one medium? Oh, okay, that's awesome. What can you tell us about your work that you submitted for the grad show called I Hide Behind My Back? Can you tell us a bit about that?
So my work like mainly explore like how Asian women feel to be living through a worldwide crisis and resisting all kinds of pressure and like, you know, with some philosophical interpretation. So like you can see like those philosophical interpretation like stands out like in many of my work, like especially in I Have Behind My Back.
Right.
And I often like say this is a work that kind of mark my awakening self-consciousness. And, you know, I Hide Behind My Back, like born out of like very strong desire of myself, like with like want to affirm my existence.
Right.
Like, so it kind of has the meaning that like one's self-consciousness reflect on like physical appearance, and it can create an internal conflict between my body and my mind.
Wow. So there's a lot of dualism between the mind and body. So I guess on that note, can you talk about your decision of inserting, I guess in terms of like looking at your work, can you talk about why you decided to insert your physical self into this work? And how does that kind of relate to your concept of mind and body dualism, and just duality in general?
You know, like my very first inspiration like is from a movie. Like
it's a Hong Kong movie called Chongqing Express. Like mm-hmm. there is a word in that, like knowing a person doesn't mean anything. People change. Today he likes pineapple and tomorrow he can like something else. Mm-hmm. And like I consider myself a person like that. So like it's like constantly changing, and I just have that desire. I think human all have that desire, want to like record themselves and want to like really remember everything, but like we cannot.
Yeah.
So you know, I just want to hold on my like physical things, but like also I want to record my mind at the same time. But like yeah. That's the thing I'm talking about in my work.
Mm-hmm. And wow, yeah, that's, I can definitely relate to that. How we're always constantly changing and wanting to change, like regardless, like it's inevitable. So I noticed in your work, or I guess like in your body of work, that you like to experiment with projection and drawing, kind of projecting onto yourself. And there's a lot of color associated with the lighting in those projection pieces, which look fantastic. Your work, it's so well depicted. Have you worked with projection before, or how did you get introduced with like using projection and I guess like color into your works, like color lighting into your work? Is that something you always were interested
thank
in?
You first. Yeah. Thank you. But like, you know, I think I am just so obsessive with lighting, like different kind of light and, you know, different color. Mm-hmm. I think when I first trying to, you know, come up with this work, I want to create something that is, you know, just like our mental substance is mm-hmm. really untouchable, but like visual.
Mm-hmm. So the projection kind of like relates to that, like that mental kind of state.
It's kind of abstract, but I think it kind of like represent that. So like,
mm-hmm. Wow, it's beautiful. Do you think you'll continue using projection in your future works, or is that, do you have a future project that you're thinking about, or even like a project that you're working on now that excites you?
You know, when I do my video art, so I tend to use like, after I finish my video, I'll just like project on the wall and to like give it a final kind of look. So like, I just mm-hmm. like the way of using projection.
Mm-hmm. What are your plans after graduation? Like, do you have any plans that you've been thinking, like after you graduate? First of all, congratulations on completing your undergrad. Or even just plans within your work that you want to explore after you graduate, or even after COVID ends, if there's something that you want to do that you've been thinking about.
So I applied for my grad school, and like I like actually got an offer, so I might.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. My god. So I might move to UK after graduation, but I don't know.
Wow. That's good. So that's definitely going to be a new experience for you to move abroad. Wow. Are you excited? Nervous? Both? Yeah, I can imagine. What school, if you don't mind me asking?
Goldsmith.
That's so exciting. Is it going to be like, still in art, like studio art that you're thinking about, or
it's gonna be a master of fine art? So
it's so exciting. So I guess before we go, end of this podcast interview, is there a piece of advice that kind of spoke to you and kind of like changed you as an artist, or just made you think about everything in a whole different way? That's something that really spoke to you, if you could think.
Like, to be honest, I was a math student. So like I was doing mathematical science. Like then I transferred to art history, then transferred to art and art history.
Me too. I did that too. Yes, I did. I was in math and computer science in first year at UTM. But sorry, continue.
So I think the most important thing that like I make me choose to do art is that I kind of understand that I have to be very real to myself and always like be myself and express myself, and mm-hmm. I don't have to like pretend I'm somebody else. Yeah.
Right. For sure. Yeah, so I guess like when you were in that math program, you kind of just realized that it wasn't for you, that you.
Yeah, math made my life a living hell.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, I can, yep, same. I can relate to that. I'm sorry that that happened to you. Like it's, yeah, but it's definitely a learning experience, I think, once yep. you figure out.
It's like not that bad, but like it is bad. Mm. And also like something happened to me like personally in my life. So mm-hmm. I thought maybe I need to do something. Like I kind of treat art
re-evaluate as some things.
Yeah, therapy that time. So art kind of sure. helped me get through. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, so that kind of concludes our episode. Thank you so much, Hayu, for joining us and participating in this podcast. It was so lovely meeting you. It's so nice to have you talking about your work and just talking about yourself as an artist and your plans after graduation. Again, congratulations on your offer at the Masters of Fine Arts at the UK. So yeah. exciting. And also congrats to completing your undergrad. Like, you're done. Yes.
Tune into 404 Era's next episode, where we will feature the guest artists Sean Morello and James Legaspi. Thank you so much for listening.